Session number 10420, Reel 9.
Colonel W.I. Watson, Reel 9.
Well, on the 19th of February, I see in my notes the GOC told me that the move had been stopped once more, but it was not, and was not likely to continue until 2 or 3 days later. And certain roads, indeed, were very badly cut up, particularly in the Fresnes area. Now, there happened to be two French officers with the 44th Division who were now had been ordered to return home, and they left after lunch and produced 4 bottles of champagne, which we finished, but it's not the best midday drink, I don't think, really. I think they were generally sorry to leave, and they particularly requested that I should somehow get them attached to the 50th Division, but I was, it was impossible to do. And then the general rang up on the 20th and said he wanted Mac, the DADMS, forward. So a 4 weeks partnership with he and I was broken, just like it had been with Murray Grant. And once more, I was now practically alone. I only had 15 other ranks at divisional headquarters, and I started cleaning the divisional headquarters up, preparatory to leaving. And it was a mild, warm day that day, and would be more fitting on the 21st of February for a middle May day in May in the north of England. We had the stove just lit and the windows wide open. And I went that afternoon and took the advantage to see the Chateau de Monticlair. And I there met the Marquis, who showed us all round. It was typical French, and it was a castle built in the 17th century but never finished. And there were lots of lovely Paris tapestries. But it was so typically French, there wasn't any lighting in it other than lamps. And the garden was in a very... poor state. He was a very large landowner, and he was very pleased to see us. He gave us a drink and of Malaga wine and the cake. It was in the afternoon. One of the little incidents at this time was, before I'd set off to go to the new area, was that my good two French friends, Ritz and Beza, suggested to me that we should have a chasse de lapin and that we should go and shoot rabbits. Well, we went and attempted to shoot rabbits, but Ritz had never done any shooting before, and he just missed putting a charge into one of the dogs. Even the others are somewhat amazed. They are somewhat amazed at his carelessness. Then I had made a final visit to the C. Green at the staff captain at the sub area at Le Mans, and I had a quiet lunch. I remember a lot of French sailors and soldiers there. The one thing that I always remember was there was the most lovely English ATS walked across the square at the mall, and nearly everybody stood still to see this lovely, slim lady walk across the square, fair-haired in her ATS uniform. And In the evening, of course, the general rang up. And he incidentally had never failed to do it bar once in the whole of the 5 weeks that this had been going on. We got the division headquarters all tidied up, but we did find the floor of division headquarters in Evron very difficult to clean after all the number of troops that had walked in.
So as you came out, did the following up units come in?
What?
As you moved out, did the following up units come in?
No, nobody came in after us. We just cleaned it all as well as we could, and we left it. one unit after another departed, so they were the billets were left.
You would be last away.
I was going to be the last away.
The last one away.
The last, my 15 men, last away. And on the 27th of February, I know the there was a 27th of February. There was a bit of a flap that we might be stopped because there was snow falling again. And I was got out of bed at 11:30 in a flap about, but it was about nothing. General rang up on that 27th of February in great delight because the convoy that had got in was beginning to mean that he'd got more of his division up there than I had down in the Avon area. And I think he was very pleased with the arrangement that I made, but he was a man that never displayed gratification with anybody. However, yesterday he really did seem intensely pleased. I went into Le Mans again, I think it was more or less to say farewell, and my last day at Evron was on the 29th of February. All was packed up. The mayor sent me a charming letter on departure, which is in my scrapbook, and I only hope everything goes well up to the very last. Our last party went by bus to La Hotte to catch the Arras Bell, in which will be the final remnants of the division. And the landlord of the cafe that morning, where the men had been feeding, insisted that we should have an aperitif of champagne. So we again had some more champagne, and the two French liaisons asked the mayor to join us, and this he did, and a second bottle followed. We did make a very happy impression on the mayor, thanks to the help of the French Bézin and his friend. We had tremendous lunch. Proved tremendously hilarious, and with Bézin and Ritz, and the two left for Paris, and afterwards the forward area for lunch. At last, on the 1st of March, I left Evron after 5.5 weeks.
What do you remember of the journey? Was it a good journey that you had?
Yes, it was a good journey. We went through Fresnes, Mamau, and we saw a lot of French. I remember seeing a lot of French troops out training, onto Mortain, the Nai, Nonancourt, and Evreux, where I pick up the staging offices of Mortain and Evreux, and that closed the staging off places down, and.
And how did you travel? By car?
Mum?
Were you travelling by
no,
car?
No, I went by train. Well, there were only 15 of us. It was such a splendid feeling. We passed through Pécy-sur-Eure, Vernon, Gisors, Gournay, Marseille, Grandvilliers, Poix, to divisional at headquarters, Covervilliers. A glorious day and a very pleasant trip. But it was interesting to see how the country changed. I noticed it in particular, the different characters of the carts, farm carts, that one saw in the countryside. Covervilliers was a long, straggling village in a deplorable state of repair. The inhabitants appeared to be very dirty on the whole. Although, of course, there were exceptions. And divisional headquarters was billeted in the chateau, the local chateau, but most of the headquarters mess, but most of the headquarters was spread through the main street in various houses. I was posted to the, if you like to call it, posted to the number one mess, which was the general's mess, and it was in the home of a count and his family of most unsociable character. He, as I say, he wouldn't let his daughters even come into our mess and talk to us, any of us. It was at the end of the large house at the end of the village. I used to say to Georgian in character, without as any, as usual, any WC or bathroom. And or if there was, it wasn't fit for us to, it wasn't for us to use.
So how did you, what did you use for?
We had one in the bucket, in a bath with hot water. We occupied a very small sitting room as an ante room at divisional headquarters. And the dining room was our dining room. The family lived in a wing. We couldn't grumble, really, although the ante room was frightfully cold and very, very tiny. The approaches could have been very pleasant and very attractive. The old man went out with a gamekeeper. Dressed in livery, incidentally, the gamekeeper, every afternoon after rabbits. All game, I think, was then state-controlled, because this old chap went out with rabbits. Everybody, when I went into the mess, was delighted to see me, including the G1 and the GO, GOC, and Banks himself. All said to me then, not that I think it was, it was really a feather in my cap for getting the division forward in the manner one did. And it was all, of course, very, very pleasing. Apparently, the general went to great trouble to ring me up every night. And it was a great joke for him in the mess, apparently, to refer to his sitting with his staff around him at the table, was his division 250 miles away, commanded and managed by one man. But that was in fact, it was a fact.
What about this new place you're in then? Are the French in this area any warmer towards you?
Perhaps they were. This was the landlady who produced to me when I was in bed later on, her three sons, and who said they were all in the Maginot Line. And when I was very seriously ill, I had to shout medicine, she will play. And she went for the doctor, who was Mac, of course, the good Mac.
And the rest of the division are around this area?
Around this area. In yes, I went round after I cleaned up the mass of stuff that had accumulated for me. And of course, we'd got no letters. All my personal letters from home were all waiting for me, with Teasdale, Mercury's, and Darlington, Stockton Times, and all that sort of thing.
The washing and shaving and latrine.
Oh, yes, you could do. There was only a squatting earth closet in my village. That's all outside. But I managed to get some water. My landlady would bring me water and shave for, and sufficient to shave for. And I would have a bath in a tub. Tin.
The food, was it...
Food was good. It was all the army rations, of course, for divisional headquarters.
But very largely, the division was still in a high state of discipline and readiness.
Indeed. Yes.
Did General Martel institute his training immediately when you got him together?
When he got together, the training would start straight away. And it would start, undoubtedly start, as a motorized division. But it didn't. As soon as the Germans started, we lost everything. Our transport was taken away from us. And so was the 4th Royal Northumberland Years.
And what was your role and responsibilities now that the division is together? And there's this training program starting.
appointments, for instance, military secretary came down to see me one day about various officers, whether they were fit to Colonel Percy, who'd been Brigade staff captain or brigade major, I think, of 151 Brigade, he thought he ought to get command. He came to see me, that sort of thing. And if there were any misbehavior in court martials, well, that I had to arrange those.
Did you have many of these?
No. And none that I can remember.
So we've got the division now. In its
what they call the assembly area.
The assembly area, and there's training going on. This is obviously is motorised.
As a motorised division, yes.
What kind of training was that?
Movement. Going back to the Burford days, I can well remember going out on an exercise in which the Prevost, the military policeman, were being exercised in traffic control. That was what they had to do. And of course, they had to know where the unit concerned was going to. Had to put up those little signs which you see in the countryside today when there's a move on. Little arrows.
and they were coloured arrows?
They were coloured arrows. And at night they'd have a tin with the TT-50 on.
And did the division become most proficient in provisioned?
Yes, it came in. It really did become proficient in movement. Did it?
Only sadly, of course.
Sadly.
To take it all away from you.
Completely wasted.
How long were you in the Amiens area?
How long what?
How long were you in the Amiens area?
I was taken from there to the hospital, of course. I was taken from
there.
Could
you tell me about your oncoming illness? And
I was taken ill on the 27th of March. Now, that was roughly almost just 3 weeks after I was only there 3 weeks. I wasn't the only one. Tiny Gills, the DAPM, he'd been taken off to hospital too.
And this was flu, or started with flu?
It started with flu. I mean, my note here says, tried hard to stave off the malady that was about to inflict me. But I went to, I went into Amiens, of course, and to look at the cathedral, and I went to, I went to the 74th Field Regiment. They were in a most beautiful chateau, which had been used in the First World War.
Was the communication with England improving? You were getting letters and parcels coming through?
Well, we didn't have many parcels. Not that I... that I remember. But I do remember this, particularly at the beginning of March, the 8th of March, we learned that the 8th that the division was going to lose its character as a motorized division and is going to become a line holding division like any other. And we had therefore to get another brigade in. We were only two brigades. And this didn't suit Martel at all. One of our troop carrying companies at the beginning of March had already gone.
So this was the time when you begin to lose your transport?
Yep, we'd lost it.
And you're reverting to an infantry division?
Infantry division, yes.
What state of training then would the men have to go through to bring them up to, I suppose, the fitness of a foot soldier?
Well, we had to use our feet more than vehicles. Yes.
Yes, because presumably the feet were affected from riding to marching.
Yes, we were marched.
So were there a lot of route marches coming through now?
Yes, and they would come in, and a certain amount of weapon training where we could, where it was possible to fire the rifles and bring guns. I remember, apropos, going to see the 74th Field Regiment at the CRA. Their staff captain was Jack Priestman of Durham. It was the same Jack Priestman, the shot there. And he, of course, lived in the lap of luxury. And this beautiful chateau had the orders on the bottom of the staircase from the First World War of the troops that were there. They kept them under glass as a record of the First World War. And you went into the forest close to the chateau, and you went to the middle of the forest, and there were five drives looking down through the woods in each way, and each one you saw a church. And one of them had Amiens Cathedral down one of the drives. And Jack Priestman took me up to his room and showed me. He said, this is my room, you see. And he touched something on the wall, and the hidden door opened. And he said, this is where the girl comes in. And it was, of course, for that purpose. There was a hidden passage outside in the wall. I always remember that, going to see Jack Priestman there.
Yes, of course, you're really positioned now in the old First World War fighting area, aren't you?
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes.
And were the inhabitants aware of this, and did this help in their relationship?
Oh, I think they were. The French were frightfully severe on the inhabitants now, at this particular period. Of course, I know that if you left a light on in the night, and it was shining in the night, the police would put a bullet through the window without hesitation. And did. But I can remember an incident of it happening.
Was there any leave?
No.
Taking place? No. Except for breaks for getting into the local towns? Or
only going into the local towns, yes. I took advantage of going into took advantage of seeing as much of the countryside as I could. But it was a feeling of much nearer the war, much nearer the fighting. One day I went out somewhere, one day after coming back from looking at some unit or other, the GOC told me that the commander-in-chief was extremely annoyed over a recent case of the DCLI having 15 men taken prisoner. And they'd had a post overrun, raided, and the platoon sergeant had been killed, and they'd all been taken prisoner. And he was furious. And this was the beginning to feel the war wasn't all that far away.
Where were they stationed?
Right on the front line.
They were on the front line. Was this down by the Maginot line?
Yes. This is the extension of the Maginot line that Gort was building. But that was the sort of, you got a feeling you were nearer the business now than you were when you were right back at Evron, 250 miles back.
So, did you say mid to late March that you got your illness?
March. I got my illness and was taken to hospital in end of March.
And then you were sent back to England?
I was sent back to England. Not before going into hospital. In Dieppe. The reason we were moved out of hospital in Dieppe and sent home was that anybody who wasn't going to get better in 7 days had to be sent back to England, because the Germans were just thought to be starting the nonsense. And I was sent to I had an awful journey, but my lungs were in a pretty bad state, to Dieppe.
And then from there, of course, to England.
And then I came back, I forget now how many days I was in Dieppe, not very many. Oh, Major had bought your medicine for you, and from underneath her apron.